This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alrighty, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, everyone. Welcome to this Blessed Voyage webinar with Al Maghrib Institute and Usada Taymiyah Zubair. Jazakumullah khair, everyone, for making time to be with us live today for today's session. We're very much looking forward to delving into today's topic, inshallah, with Usada on walking in the footsteps of the Prophet, and especially in connection to the experience of Umrah, alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khair to those who made time to be with us in the chat. Please take a second to rename yourself and add your location next to your name so we know which corners of the globe that you're coming in with, because alhamdulillah, Al Maghrib is taking Manchester, UK. Allahumma barik. Welcome, welcome, welcome. A late evening for you. Jazakumullah khair for making time, Racina, to be with us. Alhamdulillah, we're taking people from all over the globe, mostly from Western nations, but a little mix of everything, alhamdulillah, this November, November 23rd to December 1st, for an incredible Umrah trip with Usada Taymiyah Zubair and Sheikh Ammar Shukri. And we're very excited to be able to facilitate this. Our Umrah trips, alhamdulillah, have built quite a bit of a reputation because of the experience that Al Maghrib is known for in our in-person classes and in-person experiences, coupled with obviously the beautiful and the undescribable setting of Umrah, alhamdulillah, and being in the holy cities and the most blessed parts of the world. Umrah is always going to be a special experience. Traveling itself and exploring the, you know, corners of the Muslim world, as many of us do, is always going to humble us and remind us. But being in the most beloved, the most blessed places in the world, and being guided in the entire experience by the incredible Al Maghrib instructors who are leading you in this session, inshallah, is unparalleled. The education that you get with Al Maghrib that we're famous for, the culture that we have that it's in our classes, having that coupled with being in the most blessed places in the world and having that guidance and having that inspiration and that spiritual boost and that support is just, I can't even give you guys a taste of it. I myself, alhamdulillah, have been really blessed to be able to go on two Blessed Voyage Umrah experiences myself. And it has honestly that I was never the same person after I came back, and my life trajectory has changed so significantly. And I owe that like almost entirely, I would say, but probably predominantly to the du'as that I made during those umrahs and of course during Ramadan. So I know a lot of people, mashallah, especially in the Western world, like to take this time during the winter holidays or during the fall holidays. This one is coming up during the American Thanksgiving to spend some time and to go, you know, to utilize those holiday days as well to make sure that you can take some extra time with family and go on umrah. And I highly encourage, if you guys are on the fence, I know there's not a lot of seats that we've kept available left. Mashallah, people, we've been a bit overwhelmed by how fast the response has been this year. So if you're on the fence, to at least secure your spot and make sure that you make your istikhara, do what you got to do, but make that intention to join us. It's blessedvoyage.com where you can register. And alhamdulillah, oh, mashallah, you're going for your first umrah, Isha. Congratulations. May Allah accept from you. May Allah make the journey easy and smooth and grant you an accepted umrah. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khair for sharing. And for all of you who are intending, whether or not you're going with us, this intention is, this webinar is to benefit anyone, whether or not you're going this year, whether or not you're going with us, to give you that reminder and to give you that boost, inshallah, with Ustada Damia Zubair, who is going to be one of our instructors for this Umrah. And it's going to be such a cool, such an awesome environment for those of you who haven't had a chance to, or if you have had a chance to benefit from Ustada Damia in person. I know you already are going to be super fans, alhamdulillah, but I highly recommend having this combination of instructors is very rare, with Sheikh Amara Shukri and Ustada Taymiya, who are going to be balancing out each other. Sheikh Amara is more like that, like social personality. He's going to be the one that, like, you know, does out of pocket, off schedule things and keeps the vibe amazing, mashallah, and keeps the spiritual poetic high. And Ustada Taymiya is going to be your grounding force, inshallah, I think, during this Umrah experience. So I look forward to you guys being able to have that combination of personalities leading you. And inshallah, we'll have a bit of a taste of what that experience is going to be like with today's session. So we're going to do a bit of a reminder with Ustada to start off, inshallah, and then we'll have some opportunities for you guys to ask some questions near the end. So if you have specific questions, please hold off. If they're very logistics focused, we may not be able to answer all of them here, because we have, alhamdulillah, full logistics team that will take care of that. So you guys can send us those separately, or let me know in the chat and I can help you out. With that said, I see that Ustada is with us. I know it's a crazy couple of days for you, Ustada. So jazakumullah khair for making time to be with us for today's session and to give us a quick reminder about Umrah, walking in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How are you doing today on this fine Tuesday? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. In case I missed that.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, I am well. I believe it's still Monday.
Monday. I just realized I'm still preparing for tomorrow.
It's fine. It's okay.
I'm in live session mode, alhamdulillah. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, I'm well. MashaAllah, the weeks go by so fast now that you don't realize what day it is.
You blink and it's gone. You blink and it's October. You blink and it's November. You blink and inshallah, you're going on Umrah with Al-Maghrib. Alhamdulillah. So with that said, Ustada, I really am excited to jump into today's topic. So I'm going to pass it to you, Bismillah, and I'll be there with you for the Q&A.
Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. الحمد لله. I feel very, very grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal for giving us the opportunity to gather together to talk about something so exciting, something so beautiful, which is visiting the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, being the guests of Allah and responding to the call of Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to respond to every call of His, every command of His with labbaik, that Ya Allah, I am here, I'm here to obey you. And this is really the lesson of Hajj and Umrah. When you think about Hajj and Umrah anytime, the words that come to mind are labbaik, right? Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Little children also, they know that labbaik is about Hajj and Umrah, right? And labbaik means here I am. Oh Allah, here I am. Meaning, you called me, I am here. You commanded me to do something, I am here to obey you. You forbade me from something, I will comply. So labbaik is about being loyal to Allah. And this is the main lesson of Hajj and Umrah. So inshallah, today we're going to talk a little bit about the importance of Umrah, the reward of Umrah, and why really it is important, it is necessary for us to do Umrah again and again in our lives, why this journey matters. So the fact is that Umrah, both Hajj and Umrah are among the best and the most rewardable deeds, because they involve, they're about visiting the house of Allah. Hajj, of course, is only once a year, and it's only obligatory once in a person's lifetime. But Umrah can be performed throughout the year, and it can be performed over and over and over again. And the word Umrah linguistically means a visit. All right. So Umrah is about visiting the house of Allah. And some linguists actually say that Umrah is a visit for the purpose of increasing love, for the purpose of increasing love and affection. You know, there's different words in the Arabic language that are used for visiting. And of course, there's different reasons why you travel and you visit someone. Sometimes you visit because you are being called for some particular work, right? A lot of times people travel back home. Why? Because they're being called to take care of some business, right? They're being called to do something. But the purpose of traveling and visiting the house of Allah is to increase our love for Allah, to increase our dedication to Allah. It is to increase our faith in Allah. Because this journey of Umrah, the journey of Hajj, is all about love. This is all about loving Allah. Because why else would you travel to a place that is extremely hot? All right, the weather is not the best. Okay, it is overcrowded no matter when you go, no matter what time of the year you travel in. It can be extremely expensive as well, right? The journey itself can be so long. So why else would you travel there, right? For example, if you travel back home, the excitement is about, you know, eating your cultural food. It may be about visiting family. You travel to another place that maybe is far away, but it's got beautiful, you know, rivers or lakes or mountains. But how is the landscape in Mecca? What is the weather like? That's really not a place for sightseeing if you think about it. Why do we go there? We don't go there for sightseeing. We don't go there to enjoy the weather. We go there purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a visit to the house of Allah and the house of Allah alone, nothing else. This is a journey of love. And in of course, in the Sharia, Umrah, as you know, is the journey that is made to visit the house of Allah and worship Allah over there through acts of worship that can really only be performed over there, right? When it comes to salah, you can pray salah in any part of the world. When it comes to giving sadaqah, again, you can give sadaqah in any part of the world. When you're fasting, you can fast in any part of the world. But when it comes to doing the tawaf, for example, going around the Kaaba, which is extremely rewardable, that is not possible in the Maldives. It is not possible in Switzerland. No, it is only possible around Al-Kaaba, Baytullah. So this is what Umrah is about. And Umrah, both Hajj and Umrah, began when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam to build his house. And when Ibrahim alayhi salam built the house of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to do two things. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to make an announcement that وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَوْجٍ عَمِيقٍ, that proclaim to the people the pilgrimage. And Hajj over here doesn't just mean Hajj, but also the minor pilgrimage, meaning Umrah. And they will come to you on foot and on every lean camel. And the reason why lean camel is mentioned is to indicate the length of the journey, that they will come from very far off distant places, and they will come from every distant pass, meaning from near and from far, people will come. So Ibrahim alayhi salam made that call. And so when we go for Hajj, when we go for Umrah, we are responding to the call of Allah Azza wa Jal, which Allah told Ibrahim alayhi salam to make. This is similar to how the Mu'adhin makes the Adhan and says, Hayya ala salah, that everybody come to prayer, come to perform salah. And so we go to perform salah. And Ibrahim alayhi salam made the announcement, he made the Adhan of, O people, come to Hajj, come visit the house of Allah. So when we go for Hajj or for Umrah, we are responding to the invitation, to that announcement that was made. The second thing that Allah Azza wa Jal told Ibrahim alayhi salam to do when Ibrahim alayhi salam made the Kaaba, built the Kaaba, is to prepare the house of Allah for the worshippers who will come. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that وَطَهِّرْ بَيْتِي, and purify, cleanse my house. For who? للطائفين والعاكفين والركع السجود. For those who will come and make tawaf. And for those who will come and stay in the house of Allah to worship Allah over there. For those who will do i'tikaf. And for those who will come and do rukur and make sujood, meaning who will pray salah. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Ibrahim alayhi salam to build the Kaaba, he also told him to prepare his house for people who will come and worship Allah over there. So going for Umrah is not just about, you know, doing the Umrah, right? It's not just about visiting the house of Allah. It's about worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over there through various acts of worship, including tawaf and of course, salah. And like I said, Umrah and Hajj, these are acts of worship that are only possible in Mecca, right? And Mecca is no ordinary place. It is the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose his house to be in, right? And it is the place where the first house of worship was built. Inna awwala baytin wudi'a lin-nasi lalladhi bi Makkah. And not just that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also describes it as mubarak, meaning that house of worship is mubarak. It is a place of blessedness. It is a place that is filled with goodness. And part of the goodness, of course, is that you go there and you pray salah, for example, after your umrah or right before your umrah or during your umrah, you pray salah. And the reward for that salah is actually multiplied. Why? Because you're praying in al-Masjid al-Haram. This is the barakah. This is the goodness, right? Part of the goodness, the barakah, the blessing of that house is that, of course, you feel closer to Allah, right? And because of that, the dua that you make is more sincere. And because you're closer to Allah, because you have left everything back home and you have come there purely for the sake of Allah, then inshallah, your du'as are also going to be accepted. So Umrah is an act of worship that is a source of a lot of goodness, right? It's not just a source of great reward. Because it is an act of worship that requires one to engage their body, their heart, their money, their time, this is why the reward, the benefit of Umrah is great, okay? If you think about it, there's some acts of worship that just require you to use your body. Like, for example, you get up, you pray salah, right? You're doing rukur, you're doing sajda, etc. You're saying some things, you're some words. You are just using your body and, of course, your heart. You're fasting, again, same thing. But there's some acts of worship that require you to use your money, right? Like, for example, when you're giving zakat or you're giving sadaqah. But when you go for umrah, This requires you to engage your body, right? It can be physically very strenuous to travel all the way, to make tawaf, to make sari, to go back and forth, right? For salah, subhanallah. It requires you to engage your body. It requires you, of course, to be sincere at heart, right? It requires you to engage your heart. It also requires you to spend from your money. It requires you to spend your time, because you don't just go for one day and do your umrah and come back, right? Or half a day. You have to spend time to travel, to go there, to make umrah, and then to return, and then recover from the trip. This is the reason why the reward, the benefit of umrah is a lot. Because of umrah, there is forgiveness of sins. Because of umrah, there is removal of poverty. Because of umrah, a person draws close to Allah. Because of umrah, a person's du'as are accepted. And because of umrah, a person increases in their guidance. And this is why we see that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself commands us, himself tells us that وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. Complete Hajj and Umrah for the sake of Allah. And Sheikh Sa'di said that this shows the obligation of Umrah. All right, everybody knows that Hajj is obligatory, but this ayah shows that Umrah is also obligatory, right? At least once in your lifetime. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself tells us that complete Hajj and Umrah for the sake of Allah, which means that you do it with sincerity, right? And which means that you do it properly. And the Prophet ﷺ also commanded us that wa'tamiru, and you do umrah. And particularly, he told women to do umrah, right? And he said that upon the women is a jihad in which there is no fighting, which is al-hajj and al-umrah, meaning they must do this type of jihad, which is al-hajj and umrah. And the Prophet ﷺ also said that Hajj and Umrah are both in the way of Allah. Meaning when you go for Hajj, when you go for Umrah, you're actually in the way of Allah. Okay? Which means that the entire journey until you come home, you are in the way of Allah. You are in Allah's protection. Right? You are the guest of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ also told us that Al-Umratu ila al-Umrati kaffaratu lima baynahuma. That from one umrah to another is an expiation for the sins that came in between them. SubhanAllah, just consider this. That if you did umrah, let's say 6 years ago, or you did umrah as a child, all right, and now it's been many, many years. Let's say it's been 10 years, 15 years, 8 years, 7 years, however long it's been. And imagine now you go for umrah. So all of the sins that were committed in the middle will be erased on account of this umrah. Isn't that amazing? And of course, this is the minor sins. Major sins require repentance, acknowledgement, and repentance. But other than that, all the rest of the sins, all of them are erased on account of the following umrah. And a person might think that, well, I've done umrah a couple times, you know, or I've done it, so I don't need to do it again. The Prophet ﷺ actually encouraged us to do Umrah and Hajj again and again. Meaning if we have the capacity, the financial capacity, the physical ability, we have the opportunity, given our life circumstances, we can easily go, we are able to go, then we should go. Why? Look at what the Prophet ﷺ said. He said, perform Hajj and Umrah one after the other. One after the other. And you keep performing them. Why? Because doing that removes poverty and sin. Both of these things. It removes poverty and sin. How? Just as the furnace removes impurity from iron. If you think about it, iron, to clean it, is not something easy, right? To purify iron is not something easy. You can't just wash it and remove all the impurities. No, it has to be heated in a furnace. And with that intense heat, all of the impurities then they rise to the surface and they're removed. So some sins are like that. They're such, they're so deeply ingrained within us. They're like stuck to us, like, deeply attached to us. And it's so difficult to get rid of them. SubhanAllah. And who knows how many sins there are in our record of deeds? Of course, Allah Azza wa Jalla knows, but sometimes we're so unaware. We ourselves are so unaware of our mistakes, our sins. So when you do Hajj and Umrah again and again, this is a way of purifying yourself, getting rid of your sins. And not just your sins, also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, poverty. Allahu Akbar. How does that happen? Because if you think about it, if you spend, let's say, $4,000 on Umrah, $5,000, for example, by the time you come back, you're $5,000 short, right, in your money. So what's happening over here? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they're going to remove poverty, but clearly you see that you have less money now. So the ulama explained that this means a number of things. The first thing is that literally going for Hajj and Umrah again and again is something that removes poverty from a person. Okay? Which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you in your sustenance. He will give you more. All right? And you will see a tangible difference in your wealth. Okay? That you will literally see it increase. And they also explain, another explanation is that this is not about literal increase in wealth. This is about finding contentment with what you have, because that is real richness. That you are satisfied, you're happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you, right? For example, you eat a meal and you don't feel satiated, you don't feel satisfied. So then what do? You nibble here, you nibble there, you eat this, you eat that, you wonder, should I go buy something? Should I make something? Right? You're constantly thinking about food. You're constantly looking here, there, wondering how you can satisfy that urge, right? And sometimes what happens? You eat something and you feel so satiated, you go and brush your teeth and you're done for the night, right? You're not going to eat anything else. So what happens then when you feel satisfied? Even if somebody brings you cookies and milk, you're not going to have it, right? Somebody offers you to go out for dinner with them, for dessert with them, you're not going to do that. Why? Because you're full, right? You're full. So real richness is not about having more stuff. It's not about having more money. It's about having contentment and satisfaction, right? And this is what Umrah and Hajj bring to a person. They bring to a person satisfaction with what they have. And so a person is not constantly chasing after dunya. Their goals change, right? Their goals change. Now they're not running after the dunya. Their goal is Allah's approval. What brings them happiness, what brings them delight, is not eating another bowl of ice cream. What brings them delight is the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this is how Umrah and Hajj remove poverty. When you go for Umrah and Hajj repeatedly, or when you go for Umrah, you are a guest of Allah, right? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that the pilgrims are a delegation to Allah. They have come to visit Allah. So if they call upon him, he will answer them. And if they seek forgiveness from him, he will forgive them. Right? Like, for example, when you go as a guest somewhere and you ask for a glass of water, what happens when you go as a guest? Or when you ask for something, are you given that? Yes. And depending on who your host is, right, you know what you can ask for and you know how much you're going to be given. Right? So those who go for Hajj and Umrah are the guests of Allah. And so when they ask Allah for something, when they make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. And when they ask Allah for forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them. So those who go for Umrah, their du'as are also accepted. And subhanAllah, how many times I have witnessed in so many, many people, right? How big changes have happened in their lives. Huge changes. All right. And where did it start? They went for Umrah. SubhanAllah. They went for Umrah. They made dua over there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled them to accomplish their goals. And I'm not just talking about, because a lot of people, you know, they think that, okay, I'm trying to find someone to get married to, can't find anybody, let's go for Umrah. Ya Allah, find me a good spouse. And you're like, it's been 2 years, haven't found anybody, what's happening? I'm not just talking about material goals, all right? It could be spiritual goals as well. But whatever it is that you desire from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever change you need to see in yourself, whatever goals you want to accomplish, no matter how huge they may seem, no matter how far they may seem, go there and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beg Him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. He will give you what is best for you, inshallah. Of course, when a person goes for Umrah, they're doing tawaf, right? And tawaf is an act of worship that can only be done in Mecca around the Kaaba, nowhere else, right? And what is tawaf? What is the reward of tawaf? What is the benefit of tawaf? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that when a person does tawaf, all right, a good deed is written for them. Every time that this person raises their foot, and a sin is erased and a rank is raised. Three benefits for every step that you take in tawaf. All right, what are these three benefits? A good deed is written, a sin is erased, and a rank is raised for every step that a person takes in tawaf. And sometimes people get really afraid of, you know, having to do tawaf outside of the mataf area, right? Where the round, the, you know, it may take really, really long. But the longer it takes, the more steps you have to take, the more hasanat you get, the more sins are erased, and the more ranks are raised, subhanAllah. In Umrah, of course, is also Sari, right? Sari is going between Safa and Marwa 7 times. And the reward of that is like freeing 70 slaves, according to Hadith. And with every act of worship that is associated with Umrah, okay, that is part of Umrah, there is forgiveness of sins. There is increase in hasanat. And the best thing is really, what I find the best about going for Umrah is that when you go there, you don't have to worry about your daily crazy routine, really. You don't have to. You don't have to worry about your laundry because you can't do laundry over there. You're just going to do it when you get back home, right? You're not going to worry about cleaning the kitchen because there is no kitchen to clean over there. You're not going to worry about going to work, right? Because you can't go to work over there unless you're working virtually. But the main thing is that you're taking time away from your home. You're taking time off from work. Why? So that you can focus on fulfilling the purpose of your life, which is to worship Allah. You wake up with that goal, you go about your day, right? Keeping that goal in mind, and you go to bed with that goal, that I'm going to worship Allah. Any moment you find, any spare moment, what are you doing? You're reading Quran, you're sending salawat, right? Or you're attending a halaqa, a gathering where you're getting good reminders to help you, to motivate you to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better. But this journey is entirely focused on fulfilling the purpose of your existence. So this journey is about filling your cup, right? It is about filling your cup. And I think it's also about, it's a lot about self-care, right? Self-care is about prioritizing yourself. And you prioritize yourself by enabling yourself to do what you're meant to do, right? What you're supposed to do. And it's about enabling yourself, it's about allowing yourself to take a break from being pulled in so many different directions, right? So when you go for Umrah, that's what you focus on worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you remember Allah, when you worship Allah, you fulfill the purpose of your existence. That is how you look after yourself. That is how you fill your cup. Hafsa, I think I'll pause over here for now. I'll conclude here for now.
Sounds good, inshallah. Subhanallah, you had me in the feels, Usada. That's such a essential reminder. There's so many key points. I can't even like grasp how many like gems that you hit on. And it's such a simple thing. Like Umrah is a lot of times we overcomplicate it because it is a big trip and it's a lot of travel. And people, especially if you haven't been for the first time, you kind of stress about like all the logistics and how you're going to manage it. Alhamdulillah, obviously the blessing of coming with a group like with Al Maghrib, with Blessed Voyage, is that we take care of all the travel stress so that you're not wasting your mental energy on that. You're just focusing on your spiritual work and your spiritual preparation. And that's one of the things that I found was very surprising for me when I went the first time and the second time as well, is that I was usually travel was like, oh, my passport, this, and my document for this, and my whatever. Like, there's just so many like logistical things you get kind of caught up in. I'm watching friends and family going through that process right now. And one thing that I loved about Blessed Voyage is that we never had to really focus on that. You just did the bare minimum and you were kind of like closing your eyes and your hands were held through the entire
Absolutely.
Process.
Alhamdulillah. And honestly, there's such a difference between going yourself and going with a group,
yes.
especially if you're going the first time or
yes.
or you're not, too comfortable talking to strangers or figuring things out on your own. And a lot of times that happens because, you know, you go to a place where people don't speak your language and you can feel very lost.
Yeah.
Or you can feel like somebody took advantage of you, right? So it's so much easier to go with a group because you know what is the best time to go into the haram, especially as women, right? When is a good time to make tawaf? You know, for example, one person from the group goes and they're like, oh, it's empty. So then all of you can just rush and take advantage of that.
Yeah.
So there's so many benefits, subhanAllah.
And especially this time because we have a female instructor going. So you're going to get 101 questions about menstruation. I know Sheikh Amar is like, phew, relieved that you're on this trip, alhamdulillah. Although, mashallah, the male instructors do an incredible job and have a really like great way of responding and engaging about this. But alhamdulillah, I know that's the perfect balance of having you on this trip. So we're looking forward to that. But I know, we have some questions, I'm sure, for folks who are going for the first time. Whether or not you're going with us, please feel free to drop any questions that you have for Usada Taimiyah in the chat. In the little time that we have left. And yes, for those who are asking, the session is recorded and it's going to be available for you, those who registered for the webinar, and for those who are watching on social media, hopefully it'll stay up there as well, inshallah. Usad Samia, is this the first time you're leading a group for Umrah, or have you been multiple times? This is just the first time we've had the pleasure of having you with us.
I mean, I've accompanied a couple groups without
okay, alhamdulillah.
Yeah, I have.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So I know Sheikh Amar is our pro, like all he loves to do is do Blessed Voyage travel trips and whatnot. So he's used to the insanity of the experience and he keeps the hype up, but we're going to be relying on you to be being the source of calm and being the source of inshallah guidance and hopefully like relaxation and peace for everyone who's attending. I see one question that's coming in initially in the chat here. Someone's asking, my period is supposed to come during this time. Do you have any advice for her?
Okay. So, the main thing is that when you begin Hajj, when you begin Umrah, you should complete it, right? That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ, meaning once you enter the Ihram for Hajj, for Umrah, then you can't just leave it unfinished. You have to complete it. So let's say you enter you expect your period to come on the days that you are going for Umrah, okay? So, and let's say you have not been able to do anything beforehand to delay your period or something like that. Then in that case, when you enter Ihram conditionally. All right. Conditionally, meaning your intention is conditional. All right. Which means that if your period begins, then you're no longer doing your Umrah. All right. So that's basically what I would advise you to do, that you start with a conditional intention.
Beautiful. And you'll be there to guide on how to do that correctly and
yeah,
what to
inshallah.
Say and all that kind of stuff. Inshallah. Awesome sauce. The next question that I see is after arrival in Mecca, can I pray in the Haram before doing my Umrah? Say I arrive in the afternoon and I plan to do my Umrah after Isha.
Absolutely, you can. You can even, for example, you get there at night or midday and you're exhausted from the journey and you want to sleep for a couple of hours, you can do that. You want to eat dinner before you do Umrah, you want to rest a little bit. Absolutely, you can do that. The only thing is that you have to observe proper Ihram. All right. All the limitations of Ihram, you have to observe them. Like, for example, part of the limitations of Ihram for men is that they have to, wear the Ihram. They can't wear regular clothing. So they can't change into their pajamas in order to take a nap. All right. Likewise, a woman cannot wear perfume. Right. Or even a man in Ihram cannot wear perfume. So you don't do that. If a husband and wife are going for Umrah together, then of course that's understood. They have to observe the limitations of Ihram for however long that they're going to delay their Umrah.
Beautiful. Awesome sauce. And then all those like specifics of the fiqh of Umrah and everything that you
I'm
have to be
sorry,
mindful of.
I didn't catch you properly. Your voice was cutting.
Is it still cutting? Testing, testing.
Not
one, two.
Anymore. It's good now.
Okay, alhamdulillah. I was just saying is that, and all those things that with the fiqh of Umrah, all the things that you need to know ahead of time, what you can and can't do. Alhamdulillah, we'll have Zoom sessions ahead of time to prepare everybody. And then on site as well, we'll have a kind of a summary.
And actually,
and an
I would.
Even
if you have studied Hajj and Umrah, the fiqh of Hajj and Umrah before, maybe in some Islamic studies program, it's very different when you
you're
actually
there.
have to know, right? So this is why make sure that any workshops, any sessions that are conducted for Umrah training, make sure that you take those.
Definitely.
Right? No matter how well you know, still prepare. For example, alhamdulillah, we've been going regularly for the past few years, but I have my own personal Umrah notes, which I always refer to, okay? Why? So that if there's anything that I've forgotten, I remember. And when I refer to those notes, I also, learn about or remember the virtues, the rewards of different good deeds. For example, tawaf. So, for example, I actually have a note on my phone with all the steps of Umrah and all the virtues related to every single step, right?
Okay.
So in that, for example, the hadith about that I just mentioned about every step, I've written it over there. And it is so helpful because when you're doing tawaf and it takes really long and maybe your feet are hurting.
Or on
right,
the
maybe
outside, or you don't get
right? Exactly.
on the
So
side.
then you read that hadith and you're like, okay, I can do this, inshallah. I can do it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Right? So it's very important to learn or relearn. فذكر فإن الذكرى تنفع المؤمنين. Remind, because the reminder benefits the believers.
Definitely. I think that also helps when you're going in that group format and when you're going with instructors and teachers that are very knowledgeable, that are giving you reminders. Like one of the things that we mentioned that we don't think we mentioned so far is that this is a Sira Umrah. So you're being constantly brought back into the story of the Prophet and the experiences that he was having in the very places that you are walking on. So you feel the significance of everything that you're doing so much more. Sometimes when you're going by yourself, or again, if you're like half asleep, waking up, trying to catch all the ibadah, as much time in the harams as you can, sometimes you forget what you're doing or why you're doing everything and all the reward that's attached to it. So it helps so much to have teachers with you who are giving you these reminders exactly before you are about to undertake something that's significant, so that you can continuously have that high level of iman and spiritual kind of high while you're going into it. The next question that I see is after arrival. Oh, sorry, I already saw that one. The next is, I heard that it's sunnah to do umrah only once per visit. Is that true? And I had another follow-up. Someone was asking, can we make multiple umrahs given that we'll be there multiple days?
So yes, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went, he did not, do Umrah every day or every other day. In one journey, he made one Umrah. All right. And that is, alhamdulillah, great, right? If you want to stick to that, that is great. Because you are, in this journey, you do the Umrah and the rest of the time you spend in praying Salah in Masjidul Haram. And that is going to be a source of great reward as well. But if you feel like, I don't know when I'm going to be able to come back again, right? I don't know if it's going to be possible for me to come back again. I did one Umrah for myself. I want to do an Umrah for my deceased grandfather, my deceased grandmother, for example. So yeah, there's no harm in that. But to think that you should do an Umrah every single day, I think that might distract you from something that is also very, very important, which is praying in Al-Masjid Al-Haram. All right. If you go, for example, you catch a bus, you go outside, right, of the Haram, and then you come back. That might take a couple of hours. I don't know how long it takes to make a whole round trip. You never know how, you know, what the situation is with traffic. You don't know how you might get tired, right? And it's possible that you miss praying three prayers like that in Masjid al-Haram, right? So it's better then that you stay in Makkah, right? You pray every salah in the masjid, and you can do tawaf between the prayers, right? Tawaf is not limited to just Umrah and Hajj. Tawaf is something that you can do in Masjid al-Haram, right? Around the Kaaba, even outside of Ihram. So it's better than to pray all the prayers in the masjid and to make nafil tawaf as much as possible, inshallah.
Beautiful. Jazakumullah khair. There's many questions, and we'll do as much as we can, as much justice as we can with the time that we have left for them. But the next one I saw was, is it more recommended to do Umrah first or Hajj first?
So you have to see what is possible for you, right? You know, for example, you see that, yeah, saving up for Hajj seems very likely, right? Because you have a good source of income, right? You've been saving for some time and you're almost there and you think you can go for Hajj within a year or two. Okay, then of course you're saving for Hajj actively, all right? It seems doable, then yes, you go for Hajj, right? You go for Hajj first and then inshallah you do Umrah as much as possible. But let's say, given your income and given your family situation, right, your financial responsibilities, going for Hajj doesn't seem realistic, because to save $20,000, $25,000, $30,000, I mean, it seems very unrealistic for you, right? But it is possible for you to save $4,000 to $5,000, right? And you get a good deal, maybe even less. Then should you miss out on Umrah just because you can't go for Hajj right away? No, you shouldn't. You should go for Umrah. All right. So go for Umrah first. And when you go there, make dua to Allah to call you for Hajj as well. And then inshallah, Allah will make a way you go for Hajj too. Inshallah.
Beautiful. If there's any logistical questions, by the way, that we don't get a chance to get to, and it's about the trip or the experience or anything else, please also feel free to send them to us at blessedvoyage@almaghrib.org. And we can make sure that we get those answers for you for those we don't have time for.
Hafsa, I thought Sheikh Omar was going to be here for the questions.
Oh no, he's coming for next session, inshallah. Oh, okay. This is all on you. So don't worry. We'll, I'm giving you the easy ones. I'm giving you the okay ones, inshallah. Don't worry. I'm holding back the intense ones.
Sounds good.
The next one that we have is, I don't know if this is more fake, but if we're staying at night in Jeddah, can we put on ihram on the next day by going to the miqat like Masjid al-Aisha? If you're they're flying to Jeddah, are they flying over the...
Yeah, so I've seen people do that.
Okay.
I would do whatever our guides, our shuyukh tell us. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm not sure about where the flights are coming in from. So that really on the miqat.
Yeah. Okay.
Where you're Sounds crossing good. The miqat from.
Sounds good. And then someone else is asking, Assalamu alaikum, can you please go over what is needed for ihram for women?
Okay. What is needed for ihram for women?
We have it easy. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. It's very easy. So there's just a few things. The main thing is that a woman wears her regular clothing, all right? Her regular hijab, her regular abaya, whatever it is. You're not required to wear white. And please, I discourage you from wearing white because it can get dirty very quickly. It can be very see-through, all right? So it's better to wear some other color, all right? So remember that there's no requirement to wear white or to wear black or to wear a specific color, green. No, you can wear any color that you want. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay. Of course, a woman should wear, should observe proper hijab, right? Another thing is that a woman should not wear fragrance, just like a man should not. Another thing is you do not cut your nails or your hair during ihram, right? There is a hadith that mentions that a woman does not wear niqab, right? But that does not mean that a woman does not cover her face. Okay, this is similar to how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told men, said for men that men do not wear pants or men do not wear shirts, right? Does that mean they don't wear anything? No, it means that they don't wear, clothing that is made to fit, right? Like a shirt or a pant, right? Or a long dress. What they're required to wear is something else, which is a loose sheet of cloth to cover their body with, right? So similarly, if women have been told to not wear niqab, that does not mean that a woman who regularly wears niqab cannot cover her face. No, from the way of Aisha radiallahu anha and the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what we learn is that when there would be men in front of them, then they would take a part of their head covering and they would cover their faces with that. So that is something that a niqab wearing woman can do. Other than that, I do not remember at the moment. I might be missing a few limitations of ihram, conditions of ihram that people have to observe, but this is the general ones that apply to everybody, to all women.
Jazakumullah khair, Ustada. And yeah, that's something that we get into the nitty-gritty of. I think Ustada covered the majority of them. But if you have specific questions or people come up with the most unique scenarios that are like so unrealistic that we'll ever come into, but we
It's
get very
okay. Real
creative.
life is
Yeah,
different, right?
it
And
is.
when you're in different situations, then you wonder,
It's good to know.
what
Yeah.
am I supposed to do here?
Exactly. Alhamdulillah. The next question is, can women perform Umrah without mahram? And then in that case, do they have to be in a group of only women or can they be in a group, mixed group? Which, FYI, this is going to be the case with Blessed Voyage.
Okay, so there is a difference of opinion among the scholars regarding this. There are those scholars who say a woman should not travel without a mahram. It doesn't matter where she's going. She should not travel. So if that is the opinion that you follow, then stick to that. And then there's other ulama who say that no, a woman can travel and they have their reasonings. Of course, I'm not going to go into the different evidences. But the main thing is that even if a woman goes for Umrah without a mahram, she should not travel. She should not go completely alone. All right. She should go in a group. As the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go for Hajj, as in a group. Okay, so when you go for Umrah, you don't go alone; you go in a group. So, when you travel, but when you're actually doing the Umrah, right, Tawaf and Sa'i. Personally, I would say don't do it completely alone. Do it with a friend. Do it with a sister. Don't go completely alone. And that is for your well-being, for your safety. I mean, this world is this world, right? There's going to be fitan everywhere. And you don't want to be in the purest, the best place in the world and come back with something that makes that entire experience sour and, upsetting. So go with a friend, go with two or three women, together. You don't have to be, saying everything out loud together. Say your du'as, your adhkar, your recitation on your own. But I would say don't do Umrah alone.
Jazakum Allah khair, Ustada. There's a number of questions that came in that are more logistical. One that someone was asking, if they're a revert, do they need to take their a conversion or their Shahada certificate? I just received information that that's not necessary, alhamdulillah. Somebody else was asking about if Nusuk is still required to go into the Rawda. It is still required, but it's the limitation of going in once a year or whatnot that has been lifted, alhamdulillah. So I think those are the major one, logistical ones that I saw.
And honestly,
Maybe,
these things, they keep changing. The so
yes, yeah.
It, inshallah, the
From
latest,
between now to November, there might be
exactly,
another
it's
change.
possible that things might change. So inshallah, whatever the, they tell us from Blessed Voyage, inshallah, we'll stick to that. Inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. And you know what? I'm trying to see if there's anything. There's a lot of the questions are repeated. So someone's asking, can you go with a niqab similar to the one that you're wearing right now, Sada? Is that permissible then?
Absolutely, because it, the way that I'm wearing it is not a separate piece of cloth. This is a part of my khimar, part
Okay,
of my hijab.
beautiful. And I knew when you said you had your own set of Umrah notes that somebody would inevitably ask if you could share them. I'm assuming they may be
I
written or
could, but
private. Yeah.
they're not going to make much sense to you. They're personal
Okay.
notes.
Although, alhamdulillah, you're going to be getting a lot of information, like lists, checklists, and for like preparation, a whole kind of.
And honestly, I would say make your own Umrah notes.
Yeah, that's
Okay?
true.
Make
Make
your
it
own
personal.
notes. You're
Yeah.
given all of these checklists. You're given all these booklets.
Yeah.
Don't walk into the haram with like 15 different booklets and trying to figure out what am I supposed to do right now and what am I supposed to say right now. No,
Yeah.
consolidate all of them.
Yep.
Okay, especially when you're on the plane. Okay, you've got nothing to do instead of watching a movie. Open all of those notes up and make your personal notes.
Yeah.
That is going to be your mental, your spiritual prep, inshallah, for your Umrah.
Yeah. And that's the advice I've heard so many shuyukh give, because a lot of times you'll be in tawaf and you'll be looking around and people are like looking down and trying to remember everything instead of being in the moment and trying to feel it and say what's coming from the heart. So that's where preparation comes in. Alhamdulillah, that's where we'll be helping you guys to spiritually, logistically, mentally, et cetera, prepare so that you're in a great position when you get there, that you're not trying to remember everything and scramble and stress last minute, inshallah.
And miss
Yeah.
out, the thing is, you could miss out on so many rewards,
Yeah.
right? If you don't remember what you're supposed to do. So
Alhamdulillah. Awesome. Sorry, I was saying alhamdulillah because someone just said this is very beneficial. And I know some folks here have already registered for the Blessed Voyage Umrah, that you're already preparing and packing and making your checklists and whatnot for November. So we're looking forward to welcoming you all. But for everybody else here, jazakumullah khair for attending. I hope that you all benefited as well from the reminder and from the Q&A here with Usada Taimiya Zubair, who's going to be one of your group leaders this November 23rd to December 1st with Al Maghrib's Blessed Voyage Umrah, and is going to be guiding you before the trip, inshallah, supporting you with online sessions so that you guys are ready to go, inshallah, along with Sheikh Amara Shukri, and then being with you every step of the journey from the very, very beginning to the end. I hope that you are all able, inshallah, to join us. It's at blessedvoyage.com. Usada, Taimiya, any final words before we close off for today's session, inshallah?
One thing I would say is start walking.
Oh, yeah.
Walking every day, because when you prepare for Hajj and Umrah, you don't just prepare with your stuff that you're taking with you. You have to prepare spiritually and physically, right? It can be a strenuous journey. If you don't have the habit of walking every day, you're going to be exhausted, right? And you're going to miss out on the opportunity to pray in the haram, to really enjoy your umrah. You want to be able to enjoy your umrah and not worry about, is this walk going to exhaust me? Am I going to be tired? Right? You want to, inshallah, get those muscles moving from now, get your feet moving, get your legs moving so that you're in the habit, inshallah. So that's one thing that I would recommend. Start walking every day. Another thing is start building good habits from now. For example, start reciting Quran every day. If not every day, at least every other day. Because sadly, what happens with many people is they think, when I go for Umrah, I'm going to read Quran over there, a lot of Quran over there. But because they're not in the habit of reading, they're not able to, right? So start now so that you can, do more over there, inshallah. And you can actually make use of the time and the opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you there, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair for that reminder, Sada. We look forward to, inshallah, preparing and going on this beautiful journey with you. May Allah facilitate with ease for everyone who's intending and hoping to come. And we'll see you very soon, inshallah. I know we'll see you even sooner tomorrow for those of you who are waiting for our virtual course launch with you. But inshallah, I'll drop a link to those who are curious and want to attend a welcome session with the Sada Tamia Zubair as she teaches a live course, virtual course with Al Maghrib online. So look forward to that, inshallah. We have an open week tomorrow for Eternal Journey. But in the meantime, we'll see you very shortly online. For now, take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Usada Tamia Zubair, one of your instructors for Al Maghrib's Blessed Voyage Umrah that's taking place once again this November 23rd to December 1st. If you have any questions, please forgive us if there's something that we didn't get a chance to answer. Please do reach out to us at blessedvoyage@almaghrib.org and we'll do our very best to get any answers for you, inshallah, whether it's about the trip experience and what's going to happen on the ground, whether it's about the spiritual side of things. We'll do our very best to support you all in the journey. We look forward to seeing you guys very shortly. Yes, those who registered for this webinar will get the recording within 24 hours. If there's anything that you missed, please feel free to share your notes and share it with others who may benefit, inshallah. And we look forward to seeing you guys this Thursday for our second webinar, same time with Sheikh Ammar Shukri, inshallah. He's going to be spending some time on the same topic and giving us his own spin and his own reflections on the Umrah of the Prophet and Umrah in the footsteps of the Prophet, inshallah. So look forward to that. Please make sure you join us. It's going to be the same link for those who joined us today. And we look forward to having you there. Once again, blessedvoyage.com for those who want a secure seat before they all sell out. And we'll see you guys very soon. For now, take care, stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.